on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, August 12th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. Appreciate you all tuning in for this hour. And it's my job to make the most of the hour, make the most of this time with you by answering your finance and investment questions, as well as giving you data and perspective that you can bring back to your own personal situation and make just consistently good decisions with your money. Not just every week or every month, but year after year. So that's what the show every day is really about. It's about helping you take that next step in your investment journey, in your education towards how to capitalize an opportunity, as well as avoid pitfalls. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the next hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hi there. This is Harry from Hayward, California. I had a question for you regarding Altera, ticker symbol MO. I know it's not the most, I guess, socially accepted business that they're in, but it company appears to be a cash cow, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on making a position or acquiring some shares in that company. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, looking at Altria Group, MO is the symbol. This has been really on a tear from the lows early last year, around $40 per share. Now we're at 66 and change, a 6% dividend yield, even after rising so dramatically. Relative strength is 85. So one of the better performing equities over the last year. And historically, these tobacco stocks, and that's what they do, Altria is domestic Philip Morris, basically. There's Philip Morris International, that's all the cigarette brands under the Philip Morris umbrella that are overseas, whereas Altria is Marlboro and Black and Milds and some other names domestically here in the U.S. Now, one issue with the name long-term is that the use of cigarettes continues to decline domestically. It's still relatively growing abroad, but it's declining domestically. But there can still be ways for them to make high profits. And one of that ways is raising prices. You know, it's an addictive product. And so typically there's not a lot of elasticity in the demand. So you get a sticky customer base and able to produce pretty strong margins over time. And that's why I like it. They're also getting into some smokeless tobacco, as well as I believe they are looking at, yeah, they have a stake in cannabis manufacturer Cronos as well. So they have some exposure there. But free cash flow, about $8.7 billion. On a market cap of about $110 billion. So you're talking about an 8% free cash flow yield, which is very, very strong. Return on invested capital is 39%, also very, very strong. So I kind of like it. I would own it. We own Philip Morris for clients, so we like that one a bit better because of that. They have a bit better exposure to smokeless tobacco like Zyn, as well as that growth in users over the long term. So we lean towards Philip Morris, but Altria is also a good option as well, especially if you're not trying to take that foreign currency risk. That's what one thing you do get with Philip Morris is foreign currency risk, which can cut both ways. It can be a tailwind sometimes. It can be a headwind. So we are okay with that risk, but it depends on your preference. So I like both, but I lean Philip Morris. Thanks for the call. Now it's Tuesday, August 12th, 2025, and summer is heating up. And we have a lot to talk about over the next hour. or 45 minutes roughly. And our main focus point is about understanding ex-dividend dates. When are you entitled to a cash or stock dividend? We'll dig into the details there. In addition, we have other topics on the docket. We have a new head of the BLS, and Wall Street is a bit concerned about how that is going to settle out when it comes to the data, the integrity of the data. It seems like the new head wants to put those numbers out, not monthly, but quarterly. So that'll be interesting. But remember, that's not the only number, right? The monthly jobs number that comes out every Friday, first Friday of every month for the previous month, that's not the only way that you can get an understanding of what's happening in the labor market. There are other data points as well. So we'll look at what maybe you should start to consider when you're trying to assess the strength of the labor market. In addition, we are headed towards more state capitalism. That's what we're heading. That's kind of what Trump has ushered in, is capitalism that is really driven by many decisions from the federal government, from the state. And this has a lot of CCP, Chinese Communist Party, ethos to it. And we'll talk about what the parallels are, what the differences are, and what that ultimately means for the strength of the economy long term. In addition, we have other topics on the docket, mainly your voice bank questions. One is on how to invest in the bond market. The other is BTC, Grayscale Bitcoin Mini Trust. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section on the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. But we are heading into a break, and I welcome your finance and investment questions. No question is too simple or too complex. You set the agenda on InvestTalk. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
Wanted to get your take on W.W. Granger.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
The issue, though, is really over the last decade or so, it's never maintained this level of profitability for a long period of time.
Commodities are incredibly volatile, so when the going is good, take some profit.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
My name is Mike. I'm calling in from Orange County, California.
And this is Lewis calling from Bolivia.
Let's go talk to Chris in Maine.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
First off, great show. I want to welcome you to
888-99-CHART.
Hiring shouldn't be a hassle, nor a drain on your budget, right? Okay, then maybe you should look into Upwork. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. The truth is, scaling your business requires the right expertise at the right time. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable, with industry-low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
2025 rolls on, and you might have some fresh questions for Justin or Luke. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly positive day overall. You had some broad-based strength in almost every sector. You had the S&P up over 1%, NASDAQ up 1.4%, Dow was up 1.1%. Let me pull up. There we go. Let me get, I'm just pulling up some another data set here. But you had some strength. Meta, Broadcom were stronger. A lot of the chip names were had some good 2-4% moves. Really, the weakness really wasn't much weakness overall. Amazon was flat, but then you had Johnson & Johnson negative, Philip Morris a little bit negative. But besides that, the industrials, I guess you could say, some of the industrial space was negative. Waste management and the like were negative. But like I said, overall, you had broad-based strength. Let's see if there was a... There we go. The weakest sector was real estate, up 0.2%. Strongest was communications, up 1.9% on the back of that Meta move. Technology up 1.5, materials up 1.3, financials up 1.2. So those are the strong sectors in today's market. And it was really on the back of the CPI number. Now, this always gets big headlines. I don't think it's the greatest headline because PPI, which comes out Thursday, producer price index, that is typically more instructive on where inflation is. Typically, there's a two to three month lead time of what PPI is doing and how that feeds into inflation. So I'll be watching Thursday's number more intently, but the market certainly honed in on this number. And it was a bit mixed. Core CPI was up 0.3% month over month, pretty much in line with consensus, but annualized core is up 3.1%. So clearly we're getting a mild acceleration in core CPI. And surprisingly, though, it wasn't driven by tariffs. Tariff categories were mixed. Okay, so you had apparel up 0.1% versus 0.4% in June, although used vehicles up 0.5% versus negative 0.7% in June. Home furnishings up 0.7%, a deceleration from 1% in June. Appliances were negative 0.9%, so you're seeing some deceleration there. So it was kind of mixed. It really wasn't the inflation wasn't driven by actual physical products. It was mainly actually on the services side, which kind of echoed what you saw from the services PMI last week. That saw the prices paid index reaccelerating, and you had a kind of a stagflationary report on that front. And you're getting a little bit of that here. Core services increased 0.4%, accelerating from 0.3% in June. And that was mainly the driver that pushed that core CPI higher. Overall, it wasn't a terrible report. It was more mixed, and the market overall tended to like it. So that was the economic news. Bitcoin futures were up 0.7%. The dollar was down 0.5%. Gold finished down 0.2%. And you are seeing an increase after this number. You're seeing an increasing likelihood that there will be a Fed rate cut in September. We were a little north of 80% before today. Now we're a little north of 90%. So that's why you saw the dollar down a bit. The yield curve steepened where the two-year fell a little bit, down about 3 basis points, versus the long end actually went up a little bit. So you're starting to see that where you get this the steepening of the yield curve that typically happens as you're going into a recession. It's called a bear steepener, where you get the long end going up and the short end going down. So that's kind of what you've seen in markets today. Now let's go answer a question that came in via the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Here's one that came in earlier. Jim Leahy says, MetLife pulled back after earnings. Do you think it's a good buy? Let's take a look at MET is the symbol. MetLife, and this is a large company, $51 billion market cap. Earnings expectations for this year and next year are coming down, so that's because of that drop there. About 3% dividend yields. It's a life insurance provider, annuities, employee benefits, asset management services. Most people know who MetLife is. Let me take a look at some profitability metrics and a chart, because we certainly want to make sure we're in a good trend, even though we might have pulled back recently. Yeah, I mean, it's still in a broader uptrend. I have no problem with it technically. Okay, no issue there. You have a relative strength at 30, which isn't great, but the insurance industry has kind of slowed. It's a more of a non-cyclical type of financial that you might want to own, kind of a risk-off financial sector. And obviously, it's been more of a risk-off environment for the past few months, so not a shock there. Overall, though, MetLife, very, very good company with high profitability, return equity around 15%, cash flow about $15 billion on a market cap of $50 billion. I certainly like that. What is number of shares outstanding are declining. So they're buying back shares consistently. Overall, I think it's a solid name. I would continue to buy MetLife if you are looking for a large, relatively safe life insurer. Now we're moving into a break still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions. And I encourage you to call now on InvestDoc at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right. You'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at InvestTalkStore.com. And now Justin Klein is here and taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Now let's take a live call. Bill from San Rafael looking at FIX, F-I-X, which is Comfort Systems USA. This is in the heating and ventilation and air conditioning services business domestically. And obviously, they're doing very, very well with the data center build out, and earnings are rising considerably. And I'm assuming this is why you are attracted to the name, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, do you think that that trend will continue at the same pace?
That's the question I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly a fervent pace. My answer over the medium to long term is no. I think near term it can. But I don't believe, I look at the CapEx spend for the hyperscalers, just simply four names. You're talking about $350 billion in CapEx this year, talking roughly $80 billion on average each. And that is to build out these data centers. And, the big question is, are they going to be able to pull in the requisite amount of revenue to make up for that CapEx? $80 billion is a lot of money, right? And so, for Google, for example, they do $96 billion a quarter. Okay. So $80 billion a year in CapEx is roughly a quarter of their revenue. Can they find an ROI on that? Or are they just building just for scale, for chasing the compute race, right? And winning the AI race. And obviously there's a lot of risk in that. And I think at some point they're going to say, and I think Microsoft has done this a little bit and said, let's scale this back a little bit. And I think that will be the result in the medium term. And I think when that happens and you see a slowdown in that, it's going to impact these names. So can the trends continue in the short term? Absolutely. But I do think there is a realization over the next 18, 24 months that this level of CapEx spend is just too high to find any semblance of reasonable ROI. Okay, so that's my general sense. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be long-term demand for more heating and air conditioning services and products. I do. It's just, is it going to be at this pace? And I frankly don't think so. So I would be reticent to jump in to fix at these levels with this level of multiple it's trading at, because a slowdown here of any kind in growth will hurt their multiple considerably. So a name to keep on the watch list, keep on the radar. I think you'll go through a correction period in a lot of these names, and that's when you'll probably want to be picking up a lot of the HVAC companies.
Sounds good. Thanks, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Let's go take a voicemail call from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Eric from New York. Thanks for all the information that you guys give every day in your podcast. I'm an avid listener on my hour and a half commute. You guys talk about investing in stocks and bonds and other types of investment products. I'm a typical retail investor. I have the typical retail investor apps that I use. I don't really have a financial advisor. How can someone like me actually go about investing in a corporate bonds or municipal bonds? How can someone like me get involved in the actual bond market? I hear you guys talk about it a lot in terms of diversification, rate of return, everything like that, but I actually don't really, I guess maybe I should look a little bit more, but I don't have a lot of exposure into the bonds. I'm just, you know, buying stocks, buying ETFs. Yeah, if you could look into that for me, that would be great, and I'll listen to it on the podcast. Thank you.
Sounds good. Well, there are many ways to invest in the bond market. For the average investor like yourself, you know, ETF is probably the simple way. Now, bonds are a completely different beast than equities. So you really have to educate yourself on the risks that are there. The main two are credit risk, meaning defaults. When you buy an ETF or a mutual fund or mutual funds that hold bonds and bond funds there, you get diversification. So you don't get a lot of default risk of individual names because you're so spread out, but you can get yield spreads widening out, and you can lose money over short periods of time when you take a lot of credit risk. So understand that. And then there's duration risk, which is how long, what's the maturity length of these bonds that you're holding in that particular fund. So you want to really understand that and figure out how much risk you want to take. Then you can also buy individual bonds. Your broker probably has a bond desk. If you're at one of the major brokers, you can call them up and discuss potentially buying an individual bond as well, and they'll probably help you understand the risk there as well. So a lot of ways to do it, but make sure you do your research before you fire on anything. Now we're heading into a break. I'm ready to take your calls right now on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART. No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us. Right? So let me tell you about Kachava's whole body meal shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava shakes come in 5 delicious flavors: chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's whole body meal shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Kachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those 5 indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every 2 scoops of Kachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Kachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try Kachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with Kachava. Go to kachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code INVEST. For 15% off. There are some things you don't need to splurge on, but a high quality mattress isn't one of them. Think about it. You sleep on your mattress every night for years, and the value of good quality sleep impacts your daily routine, so it should never be taken for granted. Avocado Green Mattress is made with superior craftsmanship, better materials, and thoughtful design, so Avocado stays supportive and comfortable for the long haul. And you'll be glad to know that Avocado is committed to maintaining the highest standards of ethical and transparent practices. That means eco-conscious production using renewable, certified organic materials. In fact, every avocado mattress is made from certified organic latex, wool, and cotton. Breathable, non-toxic materials that keep you cooler than synthetic alternatives throughout the night. In case you were wondering, Avocado Green Mattress is a bestseller that comes in three different comfort options: firm, medium, or plush. To make your purchase more accessible, there are easy financing options with Affirm. Plus, you can take advantage of up to 1 year sleep trials and generous warranties. To try before you buy, visit one of the Avocado retail stores or premier retail partners to experience the comfort in person. When you want unmatched comfort and support, exceptional quality, and better sleep, look into Avocado Green Mattress. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on certified organic mattresses during their Labor Day sale. Avocado, dream of better.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free, the answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now. 888-99-CHART.
Our main focus point today is about understanding ex-dividend dates and when you're entitled to the dividend. This is a question I get a lot, and it's important, especially when you're a dividend investor, you're an income investor. When do you need to own the stock so that you receive the dividend? Now, there are two important dates. One is the record date and the ex-dividend date. Now, the record date is when you must be on the company's books as a shareholder to receive the dividend, okay? And the ex-dividend date is usually set one business day before the record date, okay? There's also a pay date when you're actually getting the dividend. That's usually somewhere around 1 to 3 weeks later, okay? Two is probably average. And it's important to know how this works. So, for example, if the record date is on a weekend, it's going to be the first business day before that. So if it falls on a weekend, the first business day would be Friday. That would be the ex-dividend date. Now, you can't buy the stock on the ex-dividend date and expect to get the dividend. You have to buy it before the ex-dividend date and own it at the close before the ex-dividend date. Okay, so when the market opens on the ex-dividend date, you need to be a shareholder of the company. That's when you will get your, be entitled to your dividend. Then you get it on the pay date. And that's for normal dividends. Now, there's also special dividends. Many companies do this. They pay big special dividends, oftentimes 25% more of the stock's value. And if it's over 25%, then it's a special dividend and other special rules apply. The ex-dividend date will be deferred until one business day after the dividend is paid. So, for example, you, in order to get that dividend, you will be paid a day before. Okay. And so you need to own it on that day. And sometimes a company pays a dividend in the form of a stock rather than cash. And if you sell the stock before the ex-dividend date, you are selling away your rights to the stock dividend. Okay, so if it's in a form of a stock, it also similar to your standard dividend, right? You have to own it before that ex-dividend date. So I know this can be complicated, but to keep it simple, you don't want to be trading on these names around the ex-dividend date. It doesn't make sense. That's not what this is for, right? The dividend stocks are for more long-term buy and holds as opposed to trading. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to buy it before the ex-dividend date so I get the dividend and sell it. Well, usually the stock will drop the value of that dividend on that date. So really long term, what dividends are there for is to create discipline, not just for you, the equity holder, so that you consistently get that dividend, but actually for management. Because management doesn't want to be the ones who cut the dividend. And so typically they reserve that cash and they are more prudent with the excess cash left over that they can use for acquisitions or CapEx or anything to invest and grow the business. And that capital discipline is vital to the long-term success of the company, because that's what return equity is about. It's okay, how much of their earnings are they taking and investing it back in the business and then earning more on that money? And that's a big factor here that helps drive returns for dividend payers over the long term and companies that are prudent with the capital they're reinvesting in their business. Sometimes they can get over skis and make bad decisions, and that can kneecap the company long term. So dividends create that consistent payout, which also more often than not creates consistent discipline by the management teams. Let's go take a live call. James in New York looking at ASPI.
Yes, I have a position in ASPI, and I've done very well with it. It's currently at all-time highs right now, and I have no plans of selling. I thought this might be maybe a high-risk, high-reward uranium play, but no earnings just yet. But if this were to have earnings and there be a nuclear renaissance, could this be a name that would benefit 10, 20, or more fold?
I actually haven't even heard of this name. Even though I've done some research in the nuclear space, it's a pretty small name, only a $1 billion market cap. And that's after going up from about $4 and change in March. Now it's $11 and change. So, you know, it used to be about a $400 million market cap. Now it's about $1 billion market cap. So it's definitely a micro cap. So it makes sense why I haven't heard of it. The trends are still good. Let me look at, I would probably continue to own it because of that momentum. But, you know, is it a long-term hold? Probably not, because like you said, very little revenue last quarter, only $1 million in revenue. They're supposed to lose 39 cents this year, 26 cents next year. And a lot of it is a story. And frankly, I don't know that story. So I understood it deeper, maybe I would be more bullish on it. Do you have any color to what is the longer term story here besides, oh, it's around uranium and isotopes? What is the application for their technology?
I think that they're producing a material resource called HALEU. And I believe that is done at a very, they found a cost-effective way to execute production of that resource. Mm-hmm. So that is what I understand about it. But otherwise, I don't have a ton of information either.
Yeah, so, you know, that's my big issue too, is you don't really understand the full application of their technology. Will it to me, it seems like it's more, usually these isotopes are around medical applications as opposed to industrial applications, which the uranium space is really for, right? Around energy and industrial capacity, et cetera. So I would want to understand the story a bit better. I would probably hold it because, like I said, it's good momentum. It's up a lot right now. I would probably have a tight stop on it. Okay. And probably a trailing stop, something like a 10, 12% trailing stop, something like that, where I can avoid major drawdowns in the stock, but still allow for big days like today, where it's up 13% and keep that momentum going. But understand that this is probably not a name you want to own forever, because these type of story stocks tend to fizzle out once the idea of their technology doesn't fully come to fruition. Thanks for the call.
Thank you much.
Let's keep things moving and roll in another listener question.
I have a question about crypto. I have a very, very small amount of Bitcoin. BTC. Could you teach me a little bit about like what to look for as a technical analysis? You taught a lot about fundamental analysis, and cryptocurrency doesn't necessarily have any fundamentals, but all I see right now is that it's hit a peak, and then I need to ride the wave. But what would you say would be like a good 200-day moving average or like a sell point or something like that? Looking forward to the answer on the podcast, and have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is in an uptrend. Ethereum has done well lately, although I'm seeing some signs popping there. But the trend is positive mainly because liquidity is strong. And you're right there. You know, what is the fundamental value of Bitcoin is kind of nebulous, right? And you go through these crypto winters, and that mainly is when liquidity ebbs in the global economy, whether that's central banks being more aggressive or just balance sheet capacity worldwide starts to dry up. That is typically when you get liquidity changing, and odds are good you are going to get that over the next, call it 18 months. But in the meantime, Bitcoin is in an uptrend, and you probably want to ride that trend. And I could easily see this getting up to 150. We're around 120 right now, around 150 during this cycle, probably before the next crypto winter. Now, what would you use to say, okay, the new crypto winter is upon us? Probably the 200-day moving average would probably be the simplest measure. We did test that back in April, held it briefly, and it continues, you know, to rally. So I would be okay with holding it for a period of time. But as you get deeper, especially into 2026, I think that's a time where risk starts to elevate across broad asset values. And crypto tends to be the one that tops first. So understand that. That is a good sign of, and this is a lesson for this caller as well as other every other investor, is, you know, you need to watch Bitcoin. Even if you don't want to invest in it and you don't really believe in it, that's fine. It is a proxy for liquidity in the marketplace. And so when that breaks, when there is now a downtrend in Bitcoin and broader crypto, that is a sign that liquidity is drying up, and that will feed into the rest of the market. Probably equities next, typically high growth, high valued equities, and then spreads from there into the broader markets, maybe even high yield bonds, etc. And you get a more risk off environment. But we're not there yet. Like I said, Bitcoin is in an uptrend, and you want to hold it and continue to watch for a major break of major moving averages. Right now, I'm looking at IBIT, IBIT. That's a good, simple way to look at it. There's obviously crypto websites that you can pull that up. But right now on IBIT, it's around 55 is the 200-day moving average, and IBIT's trading around 68. So there's certainly some leeway there for Bitcoin to have more continued volatility, which it will, without the trend breaking. So I'd be looking mainly at moving averages, and keep it simple with your Bitcoin technical analysis. Now let's go with another YouTube comment question. Tyler Nichols says, can you give me your opinion on Cort, C-O-R-T? Right now I have it in my brokerage account, and I was wondering if I should sell and get out while I can. What would be a good price to buy? And if you think it is a buy. So C-O-R-T is the symbol. This is a name in, if I remember correctly, in the biotech space. There we go. Yep. So it's about a $7.8 billion market cap. Relative strength is at 90, so it's certainly in a strong uptrend. Interesting enough, this had a big jump in March from around $55 all the way to a high of 116 roughly. And then it had a sharp reversal back down to 62, and then it's kind of chopped sideways since then. Trading now around 73. So it's in an uptrend. It's been an uptrend for a while. But interesting reversal there. Earnings expected to be $1.07 this year, down 13% from last year. It was supposed to go up to $2.18 next year, although analysts are downgrading those expectations as well. Developed drugs to treat psychiatric and metabolic disorders associated with steroid hormone cortisol. Interesting type of product. It's an uptrend. So you want to certainly ride that trend, but it's trading at a pretty hefty multiple, right? If it's supposed to earn $2 per share next year on a $73 stock, it's a, you know, mid-30s multiple. Not terrible with that growth, but that's heavily predicated on it hitting those earnings. Number, I want to dig in why analysts think earnings are going to rise so dramatically. Is it a certain drug is going to hit market or anything like that? That's what I would be certainly watching. Revenue's up 23% expected this upcoming quarter. It does have solid return equity even before that jump in earnings. So return equity right now is 20%, which is good. Free cash flow is positive, which for biotech names, those are few and far between. So I like the fact that it does have solid cash flow and that cash flow is rising. It's still trading at a pretty high multiple, price to sales at around 9. But once again, if it does hit those earnings numbers for next year, around $2 per share, I think it's a fine name to continue to hold. But I want to be very confident in that story. Why is it expected to increase profits so dramatically? And if I'm comfortable with that, I would continue to hold it. Now we have time. Let's play another question now.
Hey guys, I appreciate the show. I've become a daily listener. I've got a stock high up on my watch list. I'm wondering what you think of this stock and where support might be and what might be a good entry point. And that stock is Skechers, ticker SKX. Thank you much.
All right, looking at Skechers, and it looks like Skechers is bought out, is being bought out, shall we say. It is trading, but I believe it's being bought out by a private equity firm, if I remember correctly. So it's just kind of hanging out here, right around $63 per share. That announcement was back in May. And yeah, I would continue. I would just sell it, honestly, in case the deal falls through. But I would, yeah, just sell Skechers. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and it's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART. And don't forget to cruise over to the Invest Talk store. It's open now at investtalkstore.com.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Bill in Northern California looking at Buckle, BKE.
Yeah, hey, Justin, good afternoon. I have a fair-sized position in this in my brokerage and also my retirement accounts. I bought it at the low recently. And I've traded it a few times over the years and done well with that. It's breaking out to new, I think, all-time high. Do you see a particular reason for that? And do you think it's justified the current time? And do you think it would go much higher than this?
Well, this is a name that we do own for clients in our covered call strategy. We've owned it for a while. I think it's one of the most kind of underappreciated, underloved companies that are out there with net cash on its balance sheet. It pays consistent special dividends. It has high return equity, 43%, good cash flow, around $200 million trailing 12 months on an enterprise value of $2.4 billion. So you're talking about 8-9% free cash flow yield. It's just a consistent business. And it's not exciting because it typically... It remains relatively small. It's relatively low growth. Revenue last quarter grew only 4%, and earnings were up 1%. So, yeah, that's, I think, why a lot of people don't pay attention to it. $2.8 billion market cap. It's why breaking out to new.
Why are they paying attention to it?
Why are they paying attention to it now? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not seeing a particular catalyst except for, you know, people are getting into looking for value and it's difficult to find value out there, maybe. I'm really not sure. Obviously, small caps are doing a bit better and this would qualify as a small cap. So we're not seeing a particular catalyst. This is more of the one of those names where we get the nice special dividend regularly. We get the consistent yield. It's in our covered call strategy, so we do sell a lot of covered calls on the name, etc. So that's the way we are playing it. It's been a great performer to play the ranges, and now it's breaking out of the range, which has been in for a while, which was, you know, high end around $50 per share. We do have a value closer to $70 per share. So it's at 55 now. So maybe it's just the market waking up, and that happens sometimes. You know, market ignores it for a period of time, and then the market wakes up to its value. So I think it can go higher. Now it is very overbought. So I don't expect it. We do expect a pullback at some point over, you know, the next couple of months, maybe with the broader market, et cetera. But it continues to be a name we want to own on pullback. So not a name you get into right now, but should be on everyone's watch list for a pullback. And typically these are names that pull back to, you know, the 50-day moving average, which right now is around in the mid-40s. Probably as time goes on, trends towards 50. And, you know, that's probably where I pick it up at around $50 per share.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for the call. There's another question that came in via web form. Peter D says, Eastman Kodak has dropped a lot lately. You like the stock in the past, so did I. Should I start my position now and take advantage of the price drop? Now, Eastman Kodak is certainly a good business, but it does pose some considerable risks at the current time because of the debt levels. Okay. It does have a decent amount of debt. Obviously, it's been around for a long, long time. And, you know, it's not a ton of debt, but certainly based on its size, it is a risk that's out there. And earnings are expected to fall 23% this year. And when that happens, you have some debt, you know, the market starts to worry that that debt can no longer be paid. Now, free cash flow is still $400 million trailing 12 months, and you have to like that. But if you look last quarter, free cash flow dipped to only $83 million. To $83 million, and the quarter before that, it was actually negative $300 million. So I do think this is a good value long-term at these prices. You're talking about an enterprise value EBIT around 6.8, and that is near the low end of its range. So I do think this is a good opportunity for Eastman, even though it remains high risk because of that debt. So understand that. Make sure you're willing to take that risk. It is a very solid company with good cash flows, but the debt does pose some risk. Well, I'm Justin Klein, and if today's show made you think about your own financial situation in any way, your broader financial plan, your investment strategy, etc., I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button and schedule a no-cost portfolio review with myself or Luke to help bring clarity and confidence to your path forward. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And catch us on our YouTube channel also. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.